global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Jeff Bellinger from Bloomberg World Headquarters, where stocks are steady at higher levels. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg Radio. The Dow Jones Industrials are up 63 points to 20,724. The S&P 500 up 5 points, and the NASDAQ is up 13. The 10-year Treasury down 3/32, the yield at 2.415%. NYMEX crude closed down 34 cents today, $47.70 a barrel in New York. And COMEX Gold's down $4.60. to $12.48.20 an ounce. Among the top business stories, earnings projections from Ford trailed analyst estimates. Shares of the automaker are trading lower, down 0.9%. Ford says it is scaling back production as it deals with rising costs and slower domestic demand. And Sears' warning about its money problems, raising doubts about the company's future, has caused a secondary problem that could make the money troubles worse. Shoppers could find empty shelves. Business Insider says vendors that sell merchandise to Sears are worried they won't get paid, so some are cutting back shipments to Sears. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Carol?
All right, Jeff, thank you very much. You are listening to Bloomberg Markets. It is 11:48 in the Bay Area and 2:48 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Megan McArdle, a columnist for Bloomberg View. A tiff has erupted over the Republican health care bill wending its way through the House. At issue is the unusual way New York State finances Medicaid. It makes the local government pay a good part of the bill. It's a heavy burden on Rust Belt and rural counties upstate with poor and aging populations. Republicans in Congress are going after those upstate legislators by tacking a provision onto the bill that would end matching funds for local government spending, meaning if New York wants to use the Medicaid program as a way to funnel federal money into the state, and oh boy does it, it would have to foot more of the bill for the Medicaid itself. We can expect to see more of this in the future. As the population ages and income disparities between areas become sharper, fiscal decisions made decades ago will pit levels of government against each other. Local governments will be tempted to bypass recalcitrant state officials by getting their federal legislators to help them out. And as we can see, sometimes those legislators will be tempted to step in. I'm Megan McArdle, a columnist for Bloomberg View. For more commentary, go to BloombergView.com or view Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg View commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, also at 5:48 a.m., 8:48 a.m., and 11:48 a.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio.
That's right. That's the theme song for all muni bonds. City bonds. Include John Bonnell joined us right now, Senior Portfolio Manager at USAA Investments. And John, we had a fantastic year for issuance last year. A lot of paper came to market. But we have this notion of infrastructure spending without any actual policy to back it up yet. I wonder if that's put a pause on the issuance of paper coming from municipalities.
Corey, it has slowed down a little bit this year. And we're kind of in a wait-and-see atmosphere right now as to how much the supply will be this year. It's interesting, though, last year, even though we set a record in supply, the demand was so strong that every deal was very well received anyway.
How will what happens from Washington determine the muni supply we see potentially this year?
Yeah, Carol, there's a lot of unknowns right now. But at least the current administration is talking about the health care reform, which could impact health care bonds. They're talking about tax reform, which certainly would impact, you know, the highest marginal tax rate would impact the value of tax-free interest, mm-hmm. and therefore the value of muni bonds. And then the whole discussion about infrastructure spending. We all know that it's needed. We all know it's coming. And historically, that's been funded primarily in the traditional municipal market. What we don't know is if it's going to be funded in the traditional muni market this time.
Wow, so on three fronts.
That's right.
So I wonder what you think would be the most efficacious way for this infrastructure spending to happen as it relates to the bond market or just as it relates to getting things done. Is it muni-backed lending that would essentially leverage private money, or is it flat-out government spending that would start working fast?
You know, Corey, my guess is it's going to be a combination of things. Again, as a muni guy, I'm somewhat biased by the traditional municipal market. I think historically speaking, capital has been raised very efficiently for all kinds of infrastructure projects in the muni bond market. But I do think people are getting creative, and they want to start these projects as soon as they can. And as you said, it's going to have a big impact on the economy as well with jobs and so forth.
In terms of the strategy right now for the fixed income market and the muni market in particular, what have you done differently since the elections?
We haven't done anything differently,
just
Carol.
Leaving it be. Yeah.
We have a certain process, and our process is a focus on income. And we start with the premise that no one can accurately predict interest rates. So if anything, if you look back to the fourth quarter of last year, who would have thought interest rates would have spiked up after the election results that we received? Not many. And frankly,
nobody's been good about, let's be fair, nobody's been good about calling, I feel like, the rate trajectory for several years, right?
At least 8 years.
Yeah.
We've been suffering with very low interest rates for roughly 8 years, not helping savers in any way. And so when rates did spike up in the fourth quarter of last year, it was a welcome sight for us. But we have done what we always do, and that is try to capture incremental yield as we're buying bonds and just let that compound over time. Because, again, we don't think you can accurately time it.
As you look at this, where are your sort of favorite places to look right now in terms of fundamental opportunities in the muni market?
Yeah, Corey, if you look at on the long end of the market right now, municipal yields are over 100% of treasury yields. And so that's even before you factor in the value of the tax exemption. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about on an absolute rate basis. So essentially, you are getting the tax exemption for free. And one of the potential headwinds, this tax reform that may or may not come in the future, our view is that even if marginal tax rates do come down, because we are so cheap relative to other fixed income alternatives now, I don't think it's going to be that big a deal in our market, honestly. But it's hard to paint the muni market with a big broad brush because there's so many different issuers.
And I should point out your USAA Virginia bond fund, your USAA California bond fund, and your tax-exempt long-term fund, each beating most of your peers over the past 5 years. But having said that, listen, our guys do like specifics. Our listeners like specifics. And you're right. It's hard to just paint, you know, one broad stroke, if you will, when it comes to the muni market. But are there areas that you find hold a lot of potential, positive potential at this point?
Yeah, I think when one does the fundamental bottom-up credit research that a shop like ours would do and can extract that incremental yield, I mean, some of the things we look at are, does the project even make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Is it an essential project? So, for example, if you see an issuer that is borrowing money to fund a golf course, you know, that may not be that essential. And if later down the road, 3, 4, 5 years from now, they run into budget problems, you know, that could become an issue. And so what we like to look for are bonds that we think are very strong, have very strong fundamental credit strengths to them, and are essential service-type projects.
I would love to see that research. What just 30 seconds, what would jump out if I looked at that research for the first time, read a little bit of Wall Street research in my life?
Yeah, well, this is proprietary internal research that we do. I mean, we don't rely upon the rating agencies or the bond insurers to do our work for us. We have a team of internal credit analysts that do, again, this bottom-up fundamental credit research that gives us the basis to determine, does that represent a good relative value compared to everything else in the market?
He's not going to give it to you, Corey. I'm just telling you.
I didn't think it was for free.
John Bunnell, thank you so much. Senior Portfolio Manager at USAA Investments. They've got over $4 billion. Or John, I should say, over $4 billion that he's managing specifically, based in San Antonio, Texas, joining us in our Bloomberg 1130 studio on this Thursday. John, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, coming up, we'll get another check on today's trading session and some of your top business stories. Carol Messer, Corey Johnson, we are Bloomberg Radio.